Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Today on the podcast, head coach Dee Brown from Roosevelt University joins us. We talk with Dee about his new head coaching job, his first head coaching job, why he wants to be a head coach. And of course, we go back into the Illinois 2005 era and get some great knowledge from him and insight and some hot takes about how the 05 team stacks up against the greatest in Illini history. So that's all coming up on the podcast. But we have, this is kind of almost an emergency gathering, almost an emergency pod to open today. As the news comes out, John Wilner is the first to report this, that the UCLA and USC are in discussions to join the Big Ten. All the other big-time college football reporters have chimed in, said this is in discussions. No word that it's an official deal or anything like that. But assemble the crew, Joey Wagner, Derek Piper, the Pac-12, two of their power programs potentially joining the Big Ten. We talked to Joey the other day about how college football could look a lot different, about the possibility of super conferences and Josh Whitman's takes on all of those things. So I want like one word, guys. Can you think of one word that you thought of when you saw this news? Joey, go. Putting you on the spot.
Whip. It was just one. I think I messaged you guys. I just said, what? That's all. That's all I could think.
Derek?
Weird. Weird. It's just weird.
I think mine was inevitable. I think inevitable. I think this is what the SEC has created. I think this is what 10, 12 years ago created, that we are on a course where we're going to have a couple of super conferences. They're going to make their own rules. They're going to split from the NCAA. And will college football, college basketball look the same? Probably not. But I think the money that is involved here, the competitiveness that is going on here, I think this was inevitable. But I got to say, guys, one of my biggest thoughts is I didn't know Kevin Warren had it in him. The alliance happened, and I was thinking, man, the Big 12, are they going to be caught on, or the Big 10, are they going to be caught on their heels here? Because the SEC is not messing around. They had a Texas and Oklahoma. USC and UCLA is about as good of a response as you could have to that, in my opinion. So whether you like the setup or not, I think for this sustainability and the future of the Big Ten, I think this keeps them on par with the SEC, Joey.
Yeah, money, man. It's money. Like, you're attractive because you can give schools a lot of money, and you're in the middle of a negotiation deal, a TV rights deal, for a lot of money. I don't think this is going to take the value of that deal down, by the way. Like, this is going to significantly, I would think, increase what that deal or what those negotiations look like. So yeah, I mean, that's a big one, right? Like, there were talks. I remember, Jeremy, last summer we were in Indianapolis, and it's like, could they go get like a Kansas State or an Oklahoma State? And like, in your mind, you're like, okay, I could see that. No, they go out and reportedly are in discussions UCLA and USC, and now you're in the LA market too, by the way. And like, that's another really, really big deal.
Yeah, I agree, Joey. I think financially, business-wise, this is a great visionary, bold move by Kevin Warren. But Derek, UCLA, USC, Rutgers, and Maryland could be in the Big Ten in a couple of years.
Like I said, it's weird. I think in terms of the road trips, those teams meeting up with each other for the home and homes is going to be a challenge. But of course, you can schedule around it. You think like NBA, the West Coast swing, we're going to play three straight on the road and that type of deal. But how are we not talking about this? Just got a lot tougher for Brett Bielema to win the Big Ten West a couple years down the road. I mean, geez, this is a gauntlet now.
Yeah, I don't
know.
It won't
be the Big Ten West that way. I know it'll be completely different restructure.
No, keep the divisions. Keep the divisions. The Big Ten West featuring UCLA and USC. And also Nebraska.
This isn't it, right? Like, if this happens, and this hasn't officially happened yet, but to get reported like this, it sounds like from the reporting, UCLA and USC reached out to the Big Ten. So maybe that's cover for Kevin Warren of saying, hey, I didn't break any alliance. They just reached out to us. I think that tells you about what the Big Ten, and I think this is a big kudos to Jim Delaney, first of all, and now Kevin Warren with the media rights deal they're going to have. The Big Ten has situated itself well. And I think whether you liked Rutgers, Maryland, and Nebraska adding to them, like competitively, they haven't been all that great. But you expand your footprint, you expand your media rights deals, right? And you and the SEC are on par with each other, making $70 million per school every year, while the Big 12 and, you know, Pac-12 and ACC are making about $30 million. So kudos to them for setting themselves up that way. But now if you're Oregon, Washington, Kansas, right? Pac-12, Big 12 schools.
Arizona State.
Like, where's this all go? And I don't want to already get in this conversation. Who's next? Like, who's next recruit coming up? But if you're the Big Ten, it doesn't stop here, right? Like, 16 teams compared to the SEC has got 16 right now. Do they all get 16 at the end of the day and say, okay, that's our fair share? Or does the Big Ten and SEC add more to the pile here?
Add more. More schools is more money, right? Like, if you're doing this, if you're going to throw a bowling ball into your conference, at least you get the most money you can possibly get out of it. And I would think adding some of those other schools increases the money you're able to bring in. If you're doing it, you got to do it all. Like, I saw somewhere, like, maybe, like, project, like, an AFC versus NFC model. Yeah. If you're looking at the NFL, where you just have, in this case, maybe 20 teams and, quote-unquote, the AFC and NFC, and they play Super Bowl, which also, by the way, would expand the college football playoffs, which win-win for everybody there. Like, that makes sense. Is don't stop until you've taken what you want. Is that Notre Dame, by the way? Like, Notre Dame's going to have to make a choice at some point, too.
I think Notre Dame just stays with the ACC, right? Like, I think it's going to be – I think the ACC is positioned to be the other super conference if they want because of Notre Dame. And I think their relationship is so strong. And if you're Notre Dame, do you want to go in the same conference – is Ohio State and Michigan, right? Like, I don't know. Like, is their brand as strong if they're not on their own? Or if you're in the ACC, it's you and Clemson, right? Maybe Miami, Florida State eventually get back to it. But I think Notre Dame would probably just go right back into the ACC, and then the ACC would have to add. Who is that? Is that somebody from the Big 12? I don't know. Derek, do you like this?
You're going to have to, because it's the way that it's going to go. It's the arms race, and you either act on it or you're left in the dust and look like a fool. I mean, Big Ten in that sense, as far as the football comeback 2020, there was a lot of conversations about the Big Ten not acting and didn't look all that great. Same with the Pac-12. But, yeah, I mean, the SEC has made some big boy moves with Texas, Oklahoma, even years ago with Texas A&M. And USC, UCLA, big money-making programs, especially prestigious-wise football. And I'm the basketball guy, so I like to look at it of Pauley Pavilion going there as far as Illinois. I mean, just the historic Indiana, those type of games against UCLA. Would love to see. I've been wanting Kansas. Nobody wants Kansas for football. I want it solely for basketball. But, yeah, Oregon would make sense. I'd be curious. I'm really fascinated by what's going to happen with, like, an Arizona. And this is just going to be the future of it. And I think it makes total sense and aligns with what Josh Whitman was talking about with it's going to look a whole lot different. Maybe the NCAA is not involved. And like you were saying, two super conferences, maybe three with the ACC. And let's let it roll. Just get used to it.
I can't imagine what, like, Kansas State's been dealing with this. But, like, schools like that, Oregon State, Arizona State, I might be sprinting towards the Big 12 right now just to find a home. I don't know if the Pac-12 just dissolves. I can't see that. It's a brand. But it's going to be fascinating to see the reaction after this. Because if you're a Pac-12 school, just like the Big 12, like, it's a bad place to be. Like, I'd feel a lot better if I'm an ACC school and just go, let's do this already, Notre Dame, and then we can really solidify ourselves here. I don't know what the Big 12 and Pac-12 programs have to be thinking. Mountain West schools might be in a good spot. Somebody's got to add some schools to get some credibility here. But let's talk about how this would impact Big Ten football. What would this look like? 16 teams, you play 8 of them, play half the league every year. Is it just a division? And then those two teams, meet at the Rose Bowl every year for a Big Ten championship, maybe between Indy and the Rose Bowl. Joey, any ideas there of what this looks like? Because you'd only play half the league each year.
Yeah, you lost me at divisions. I mean, I don't know that we're still – like, I understand your point, but, like, I think that's – I don't know how you would do that with those two schools involved. Like, I don't know what this looks like at all from a scheduling standpoint. We all kind of got down this road of, okay, you're going to have a four-team pod or whatever the case may be, and then you'll play the other five, you know, over the course of 2 years and whatever. Now you look at it, it's like, how does that – the pod would fit UCLA and USC. The Nebraska pod?
What is happening in sports right now? Kevin Durant just requested a trade. what is happening? DeAndre Ayton potentially is the Bulls have interest there. Like, this is the most nuts day in sports. But Joe, I have no idea. That's why you got to add Pac-12 teams. Like, it makes no sense if USC and UCLA are only out there, but none of this has to make sense other than money. And that's where I applaud this for the Big Ten. I think to survive, to compete with the SEC, because the SEC, once they went to Texas, Oklahoma, they said, we don't care about the rest of you guys. I think they're trying to build their own college football playoff, like their own little thing in their own part of the country. And I don't think the Big 10 could sit notably by. And I thought they would. I really thought they would. Basketball, Derek. I like it. USC, yeah. UCLA. Now, it's probably going to be like a round-robin schedule. Play every team once, right? If you're up to 20, which could be interesting. And the schedule, you know, home and away would be interesting. But maybe we get to a point where it's just you play each other twice, and that's the season. I don't know. There's no non-conference or anything like that. I think anything is on the table. But I think that's why Kansas would be so interesting to me. I think they're a regional fit. I think the basketball program makes a lot of sense. I think it makes sense with UCLA, USC in this thing. But what do you think about the possibilities of basketball?
More marquee matchups, the better. I know that Joey's already advocated for him being in the LA division of the Illini Inquirer, and we'll see how that ultimately works. It would expand the reach. Not that programs aren't already recruiting all over the country, but you think about maybe Illinois having more of a West Coast reach recruiting wise and everything. But yeah, I mean, to get a chance to, like I said, go to UCLA, have them come to at Michigan State, like those are big time matchups. Throw Kansas in the mix, that would be absolutely awesome. But it's going to be different, but it would be something that, and I think on the football side, I think you bring up a great point, because the traditionalists aren't going to like this in general, especially the geography of it. But it's no longer that old, well, we're trying to get to the Rose Bowl for the top Pac-12 team versus the top Big Ten team. But I think that'd be a great place for a Big Ten championship. And that could present some fascinating matchups to kind of quench that thirst a little bit. But you can't live in that old days, because you're trying to get to where there's a college football playoff, which is probably going to get expanded over time. And yeah, I mean, just let's have some fun with it. But thank God we have something to talk about during the summer with KD, who would want to play with Kyrie Irving. And we don't have to bring up Ryan Helsley blowing a save or the White Sox, which I know you don't want us to mention.
No. I can dream. I can dream for a couple of days about DeAndre Ayton and Kevin Durant until they probably go elsewhere. So it's fascinating.
Can I just say, picture it. It's January, the middle of January. Let's say an 8 o'clock tip off in Champaign. There's a foot and a half of snow outside. We walk into the State Farm Center. We fill up on food, a priority first stop, right? Everybody does that. And then we get down to the court, and there's Bill Walton floating around the court, just playing music with whatever he can find. He's dancing. He's talking about whatever. There's a tree somewhere in Champaign he has found after he trudged through the snow and it moved him. What a dream. What a dream to look across, and there's Bill Walton.
Here's the thing, guys. The Big Ten just became the Conference of Champions.
That's right. That's right. Like, do you go if you're the Pac-12 and just be like, hey, can we just combine? Can we just do a like Pac-12 division, Big Ten division, but we'll call every, like, you know what I mean? Like, they got to be like survival. I don't, man. Like, maybe that's the way it could go. Is the Big Ten and Pac-12 play each other? Like, that's the,
like an alliance.
Yeah, they're the AFC NFC, and then you get the SEC ACC, and then at the end, they play like a Super Bowl, and then we have a Mega Bowl. On top of that, where the SEC, ACC champion plays the Big Ten Pac-12? I don't know, guys. I'm just
the Illini Inquirer podcast brought to you by drugs today. What a world.
I'm feeling the Bill Walton, feeling the Pac-12 already coming into the Big Ten here, Joey.
Can we just say, like, on a serious note, like, there's obviously people who are frustrated, like, fans who are frustrated by this. And, like, on the one hand, I want to say, well, money. And your university getting money, your favorite school getting more money makes sense. But step back. I spent a little time thinking about this while I didn't type a single word for the last hour and a half since this broke. Sorry, Jeremy. But, like, this is this thing that fans have fallen in love with for 20 years, right? Like, 20 years, 30 years, whatever the case may be. And then one day somebody wakes up and is like, everything that you loved about this, that, like, you've kind of built, like, your identity around, your fandom around, you spent your money on, it's all changed. Like, everything that you found so dear about this has changed. So, like, that's why I think we have to, like, as media, have to, like, understand a little patience with people who are frustrated or struggling to come to grips with this, because it is such a significant thing to this perfect thing that they loved for the better part of their lives.
Yeah, I agree with all the sentiment except for the perfect thing. But I get what you say. In their mind, like, this is the because I think college athletics had this. A lot of college fans don't like the pros, right? Like, because they think it's all about money. And now the NCAA is becoming that, right? So I understand some of the backlash against that, but that's happened because college football, basketball, college sports leaders have created such a ridiculous business that is making so much money that the players have to make some of that. It's got to pass down to everybody else. And you know what? When you start making money, you don't want to make less of it. All of us are that way. And you find a way. This is very capitalistic of any other industry, but because it's sports, when you have change, people, I understand, are against it. I understand that. I also think, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I like UCLA and USC, but I think for the Big Ten, it makes a lot of sense. But it certainly, Derek, is going to be far different. It's far different than the Big Ten we grew up with. Like, remember when Penn State joining was such a big deal? Think about what's happened over the last decade.
Absolutely. I think you should be glad if you're an Illini fan that you're on the side of the Big Ten, where you still get to play Indiana and Michigan and Michigan State. The Big Ten you grew up with is going to be different in that you're just adding a couple of different opponents along the way. Imagine if you're an Oregon fan or someone on the Pac-12, Arizona, and all of a sudden you're not playing USC every year, UCLA. It looks entirely different from that sense. Or even if you're the teams that are now joining the Big Ten, not to say that it's going to be bad for the matchups and the appeal. I want to put aside, like, USC being like, oh, we get to play Ohio State maybe twice every 3 to 4 years in football, or Michigan or whatnot. It could be exciting, but I think from the standpoint of those that have been, you know, longstanding members of the SEC or the Big Ten, it should be easier to make that adjustment, even though I get that people are going to say it's not the league that I grew up with. And from a geography standpoint, it's pretty wacky. It's entirely different.
Yeah. I don't know where this goes from here, guys. Like, it's just going to be fascinating. And Big Ten Media Days is 3-4 weeks away, Joey. I think we got a go-to topic for Kevin Warren. Does Kevin Warren take anything but planted questions? That's my question.
How long is this going to be in a month when Media Days happens? Like, is this going to be something where the answer is, I've seen the reports, but right now, like, if that's going to be the answer, so let's not even bring it up.
Well, right? I do want to bring this up. The timing of this is really important. The Big Ten is negotiating now their deal. Their media, it's not done yet, right? We've heard the number of $1 billion that went up today, right? Like, you had USC football to that. Lincoln Riley is going to be in the Big Ten. Caleb Williams, maybe if he's still there, will be in the Big Ten. And then you had UCLA basketball, man. And I think UCLA football is kind of like Illinois, that I think it's always had potential. But you just added the LA market, like the number one market for college sports probably, right? Like, when you talk about population, because New York, they don't care about college football for the most part. LA does. And you just added that. I think this could go down as, it's weird to say, because I've been very critical, as I should be, of Kevin Warren. This could go down as the best move he's ever made or will ever make as Big Ten commissioner. Like, the best move for the Big Ten.
Financially, yeah. I mean, he's probably going to lose some in the court of the public opinion for the first year. But I think that's going to go away when those checks start rolling into the schools, right? I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to is this, again, for all the angst that may be, your school that you root for is going to walk out of here, this thing, with more money in their pockets. And that's probably going to be better for you as a fan in some capacity.
Yeah, when we're hitting up In-N-Out out in L.A., and we got a game to cover Pauly, I'm like, yeah, that Kevin Warren guy, he's okay. He's all right.
Hey, pick me up from Venice Beach. Take me to Pauly. Whatever we need to do. Wake me up on the beach.
Yeah, we got to start looking up West Coast food joints, right? Like, that's the good thing. I mean, it's expensive to get out there, though, guys. It's expensive to stay, but we'll figure it out.
I've got a pretty good beat on the food. I know where to find the Papa Shop. At this point, I don't. What else do we need?
Yeah, I mean, Seattle's a fun city, so I would encourage UW. Come on, let's join it. Colorado, I'd love to go to Boulder. Haven't been to Boulder. I know Joey knows Colorado pretty well. Oregon, lovely state. Now Eugene, I haven't been to. Portland's a lot of fun. Anywhere else, like if you guys had to do a four schools you'd want to add, I think I just mentioned mine. Washington, Oregon. I think Colorado makes a lot of sense. I know it doesn't bring a lot of cachet sports-wise, but I think that makes a lot of sense market-wise, institution-wise. And Kansas. I would go Kansas.
I want Kansas.
Derek's just like, give me Kansas, I'm happy.
Give me Kansas, and I'm good. Like, it makes sense. I mean, it even makes sense if you're doing the traditional Big Ten bubble. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, Kansas made sense last summer. And now, like, last summer feels like forever ago. Are we doing just on the court and on the field stuff, or are we doing schools we would add that would cost me to roll up to the game 5 minutes before tip off? I just need to know where we're landing here.
You can go with whatever you want. I was going with places I'd like to go, and that kind of makes sense too.
Part of me says like the U, but it's a little humid in Florida. I don't know about all that.
I think the ACC is staying together. Like, I just think they add Notre Dame and then add some other pieces, and they'll be fine.
Oh, the Kansas, Colorado. Yeah, throw Oregon in there. And pick a fourth. It doesn't matter. Washington. Yeah, all right. That sounds fun.
We're not putting the state of Arizona into here. I mean, you go Arizona State over Arizona, wouldn't we? Tempe, the Phoenix market.
Football-wise, I think.
That's very, that very
makes wonderful. Sense, but.
Yeah, it's very hot there.
Yeah, I don't do well.
Is there anybody you don't want Baylor? Trying to think Big 12. Brad might not want Baylor because he doesn't want the same conference. He wants to be Baylor in Champaign.
You know, I do want to mention, I'm glad, like, I meant to bring this up in the basketball discussion earlier. Derek, we've talked so much, like, about how Illinois basketball sees the Big Ten and they're trying to go over here and play a different style, and then you bring in some Pac-12 teams. Like, it's wild.
All right, we'll see where this all goes. But coming up next, we're going to talk with D. Brown, head coach of Roosevelt University. Thank you, Joey.
No problem.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Happy to have on the Illini Inquirer podcast one of the Illini icons, Illini great, D. Brown, now head coach D. Brown of Roosevelt University. D, how's that sound? Head coach D. Brown.
Sounds awesome, man. It's definitely a blessing. Something I say I'm not going to take for granted. Very excited and, you know, been dreaming about this day since, you know, I stopped playing basketball a couple years back.
So, I mean, how long have you known you wanted to be a coach? I saw in his statement, Bruce Weber said, I knew this day would come. When did you think this is what you wanted to do?
Probably 2010, probably about 12 years ago. Took a job, played in China. And when you're in Europe, man, you play with so many different coaches and so many different coaches. That I just sat back and was like, you know what, man, I think this is my call and I want to get into coaching. I wanted to get into college athletics, but for sure, you know, just leading and being able to lead different, you know, organizations throughout the years made me just be like, this is what I want to do.
So you get in to the staff at Illinois, you move on to UIC. You have 5 years there, D. How did this opportunity come about and why was this one you wanted to take and be your first head coaching job?
Yeah, well, they had the same coach for 12 years. You know, he resigned and it came available. I'm right up the street, like a mile and a half up the street, and saw the job, you know, met with the leadership team and loved everything they had to say about the vision of the program, it being in Chicago, you know, me being a Chicago native and the resources they have here, you know, the facilities, you know, great academics, you know, and again, the location is impeccable. So, and then I'm right in my backyard where it's just a plethora of players, man. It's really good talent up here in the Chicagoland area. So it being in Chicago, it being at the NAIA level, it's different. It's a challenge. You don't have to learn. You know, I'm going to have to learn. It's not the Division I. I got a lot to learn. Also, I got a lot to learn as a head coach. So the opportunity presented itself, and I just think it's all about timing. You know, me being in, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you still young. I'm like, you know, I ain't getting no younger, man. So. This opportunity was great for me, man. Like I said, I'm blessed for the opportunity.
What does it mean, do you think, for you personally, but then also for your job, D, that you're in your hometown, you're in a downtown, you know, court there where you guys play. This is an area you know extremely well. What does that mean for you personally and then for Roosevelt University having you as a head coach?
Man, it's home. You know, I built a lot of relationships. I never burned no bridges when I was at the top of my career and I was at Proviso Weeds. When I went to the University of Illinois, even when I was playing, you know, I came back and used to play at the UC and people came out and show love. It's just a lot of love up here from past relationships I had. Most of these high school coaches and played against me. A lot of these, you know, guys that I played against are now head coaches at these programs. Just the familiarity, everybody knowing me and know I did it the right way. I always show people love, show them respect. Never thought I was bigger than anything. You know, I never was bigger than the game. The game has allowed me to gain a lot of relationships, made me travel the world. You know, playing in all those countries, playing with different guys from this area. It just really adds a different type of feel when people step in and say, oh, man, you got DB over there. You know what I'm saying? They just show so much love. And it's a challenge, too, because, you know, most people say, oh, man, D got to go over there and win. But no matter where I go, I got to win. And I always thought winning. I always thought I have to make sure I'm on. I position myself to compete for championships. So. I'm happy, like I said, for Roosevelt as well. The location of it, you know, my brother was at Robert Morris in 2000, 2001 when they went to a Final Four. And 4 years later, I said, you know what, I want to go to a Final Four. And so it's a lot of inspiration, you know, when this job came available for me to come here and try to do big things.
I'll get my guy Derek Piper involved here in a second, but I wanted to ask you.
DC, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Congratulations. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, D, how do UIC prepare you for this job specifically? You know, obviously first assistant gig where you're at a Division I level, it's in Chicago. How do you feel like that role is going to impact your new role as a head coach?
I was visible. People knew I was at UIC. People knew, you know, when I was over there, you know, I was a guard position coach. We always had really good guards. It's definitely hard to recruit Chicago. Everybody always say that, but there's so many players here, and, you know, to keep them at home, the challenges that I faced when I was at UIC, it just prepared me for this. But love being here, man. Like I said, it made me have a relationship with most of the guys that didn't really know me. So walking into gyms and, you know, me as a coach now instead of a player, it allowed me to build relationships that I didn't really have from playing playing in Europe and really not being present in the city for a while. But it also taught me how to really work my phone, how to recruit, how to do the computer work, how to be in the office. And then my player development is went from just, you know, I was okay to that's my calling card. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to on the court work, me being able to player develop, and so it took me to another level in them 5 years.
D, most people in this profession have visions of becoming a head coach. What part of your process has made you feel like you're ready for that? You were support staff at Illinois, Mean Streets, you did some stuff, and then obviously you spent a handful of years with Coach Yaklich at UIC. How has that developed to where you feel like you're ready, and what have you added to your repertoire, I should say, you know, coaching-wise, to make you feel like you're ready for that?
Oh, I've been leading all my life, man. Sometimes when you talk about really good leaders, you know, these coaches out here for me, I judge all these coaches in the country, no matter what level they on, how well they lead, how well they're able to be the captain of the ship and surround himself with a really good staff and lead. You know, I've been leading all my life. I've never been the best player on my teams when I was a player, but you knew who the leader was when you watched us play. Just by vocal I was, how I played, how I approached the game. So for me, you know, people always gonna say, oh man, we expected this from you, D. And I always say, like, okay, wow, y'all say I wasn't ready for a job. You know, I would tell people this, man, the analogy I'm gonna give you. When I got drafted to the NBA, my first time walking to an NBA facility, you don't know what you're in for. When you walk into the building, my first year with Bill Self at Illinois, I didn't know what I was in for. I thought it was really good. Until you step out there, you don't know what you can and you can't do. For me, I was here and I couldn't, you know, I got to learn the administrative side. I got to do this. I got to do this. It sounded like when I was playing basketball, D can't use his left hand. He can't do this. I just sitting back, I laugh because every team I played on, everything I've been around, I've always had a really good team around me. And when I'm walking around Chicago or I'm anywhere in the world, they be like, man, D, that team you was on. Or when I'm in Europe, they're like, man, y'all got a really good team. It's never an individual thing, but I will be a leader of the ship. I will have a really good team around me. And whatever I can't do, you know, it's going to be a guy to my left and my right that's really, really good at it. And when we come together, we're going to be a really good team. And so for me, I'm a leader, always been a leader of men. Know how to talk to people, know how to deal with people that's connected to the program. How I carry myself, you know, I never turn down anything. I always talk to every individual. So being a head coach, you have to be the salesman. You have to be the guy that does everything. And the learning and the growing is going to be part of it. I'm willing to do that. I'm a lifelong learner. So I know that it's going to be a different challenge sitting in the seat, but I get that. I embrace it and I'm ready for that.
Leadership's in your DNA, as you spoke to that. And I know that you see on teams, sometimes you try to coach guys into being leaders. And if it's not in the DNA, sometimes it's not a thing for those guys. It is for you, certainly. But during your playing days here at Illinois and then professionally, what did you pick up on? Were there certain things you picked up on from guys, Bill Self, Bruce Weber, professionally, that then helped you gear into this coaching profession?
Philosophies, man. Everybody got their different way of doing it. Play in every league in the world, play for two great coaches in college, play for two great good coaches in high school, had great AAU coaches. I took a bit of piece of everything what everybody does and put it into my own philosophy and my own way of doing it. One thing that translates is I'm going to go get guys who believe in what I believe in. They speak the same language I speak. I speak winning. I don't have to beg no one to dive on the floor, beg no one to clap for their teammates, beg no one to go to school. You recruit the guys that have your blood, you know, who believe in what you believe in, that come from the background you come from. So recruiting is big, but I'm going to recruit kids who are tough because I'm tough. The guys I've been around are tough. Toughness wins. So for me, it's really that simple, man. Is I took from those guys. They recruited. If you give Bruce Weber his type of guys, he gonna win. When Bill Self get his type of guys, he gonna win. We've been winning. So that's the method of what I picked up. That you go get the guys that fit you.
D, I wanted to bring that up. Bill Self, when he came into Maywood and was recruiting a McDonald's All-American like yourself, I imagine the recruiting pitch is a little different than what you have to give, right, at the NIA level. But there might be some similarities of how you connect with players. So what is your sell to Roosevelt University and playing for D. Brown?
It's all about the fit. You know, degrees matter with me. Talk a lot about education first. When I talk to the families, I want to hear that that's important to them. I want them to know that a degree is number one on my list. I want to hear them talk about impacting the community. Like they feel the need to go out and really make an impact in these communities by reading to schools, by going to hospitals and doing all the things that, you know, bringing that good fortune and good and just good, being a good person every day. And then they got to be talking about competing for championships and want to have a great experience, you know, I want to go to the right fit. Everybody say they want to be professionals, which is fine, you know, but you'll know by how they approach the everyday hustle if they really want to be a pro. And I was a pro for 9 years, and all these schools tell guys, I'm going to make you a pro. Guys got to make themselves pros. And you go and talk to them about that, you would know by how they talk to you if they really want that. So for me, it's telling them that, you know, you come over here with us. We believe in that. We believe in team. We believe in you graduating, and we're gonna get after it. We're really gonna work. And I still, you know, for me, I just love basketball. I got a passion for life and basketball. So if you want to be about that, then we're gonna get the right kids, because they are going to different places. And with the portal being how it is, a lot of kids are not even being recruited. I'm going to recruit you. I'm gonna let you know I care for you. I got a plan for you. And you know, I really genuinely just want to help. And that's why I wanted to make an impact. And that's why I knew I wanted to be a coach. Is we make big impacts in young men's lives, and people aren't getting believed in. Like Coach Self believed in me. Mm-hmm. So when I go talk to kids, they're going to know I believe in them. I care for them. And I'm a hooper. Like, want to see them make some money one day. Want to see them get into the business world. Want to see them go get an NBA job. I want to help them become the people they want to become. And who not else to learn from a guy who someone taught me how to do it.
And I want to hit on another thing you hit on there, D, which is the transfer portal. It wasn't something when you were a player. I wonder what would have happened if the transfer portal was a thing when Coach Self.
I'm a feast on it.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, like,
these guys going to make some guys. I ain't going to make some bad decisions.
Yeah.
So, bad, Jay. Like, I just think a lot of guys going to make a lot of bad decisions and once they leave, they realize that wasn't a fit for them. Roosevelt was going to be a really good fit for them.
How do you think that would have impacted you as a player? You know, when Coach Self left, like that's crazy to think about. But it's just a different era, D. And I think it's advantageous for all levels. You're going to lose some guys if you're a lower level team, but you also can get some guys who are pretty talented. And obviously, we see the big fish are eating there too. But what would you think of the transfer portal if you were a player?
Well, I had to probably beg Darren to stay, you know what I'm saying? But because it was too cold in Champaign. But no, we had a nucleus. We had a team where Coach Self never lied in the recruitment process. Right after the day I committed, he told me to call Darren and tell him to get on board too. I was like, what? Okay, we the same position, but we can make it work. I just think that it would have impacted a lot of guys, but not us. I mean, we had such a great team. Team bond, like our bond was so crazy that Darren, I mean, like I said, I don't know, like Darren was a coach self guy, you know what I mean? But we couldn't leave, you know what I'm saying? Because Illinois is, again, we loved Illinois. Illinois basketball is special.
On the note of transfer portal, we know the NIL at certain places are certainly a big deal as well. The environment around college athletics has changed. How have the players changed or stayed the same from your day in, you know, operating in that environment based on what you've seen?
Oh, it definitely didn't change. I think you got to think about, man, when you got a really good team, your 9 through 13 is really good. Your 9th guy is really good. He just can't get on the court. He can't play in front of me. Can't get out there and take Luther Head minutes. So they got to be patient. They got to learn how to be a good teammate. They got to develop. If we shooting shots, if we lifting really hard, they got to lift it just as much, because you got to be ready. So when my junior year, I came back to school, broke my foot. I'm sitting at the crib, and people like, man, like, we don't know how I'm here, Coach Webber. We don't know how D never played point guard, and James has got to be the guy, and this guy. I'm like, dude, well, Coach Webber, no, we got 10 pros on our team. We're going to be a top 10 team. Like, and I'm coming back, and Coach, I had like 400 assists. I had to defer. I was being a good teammate. James Augustine had a role. He was being the best at his role. So I would just tell you that our 9 through 13 on your bench better be good, and you better have a really good player development guy, because if you do got a good player development guy and you do get guys better, they're going to want to leave and transfer now. That's the thing, because they not getting an opportunity to play, and there's no more patience. There's no more learn how to be a good teammate and wait your turn. And you learn that, especially when you get to the pros, that any guy that get drafted to the Bulls, I went to see Ayo with the Bulls, and Ayo had a penny on Garden Levine, and he wasn't even in the lineup. And then he waited his turn, had the process, and he ended up starting. It's just a process. You got to respect the process and trust it. And a lot of these kids, once it don't go well, the parents turn on and say, oh, well, we leaving. Instead of just being patient, waiting, getting better. And when it's your turn, when Trent Frazier leave, next guy up.
Recruiting-wise, you got to find guys that fit, that have the cohesion like you guys did back in 2005. But from a recruiting perspective, as soon as you got in the coaching industry, I thought, why wouldn't a point guard want to go play for D. Brown? Like, how important is that? And what do you feel like your vision is for a point guard that you're gonna recruit, and what that process is like?
Yeah, DP, I never thought every kid wanted to play for me, man. They want to play for – it's some really, really good coaches out here who – their names don't matter in this business. You know, guys want to go to what's on his shirt, what you got on your shirt. If I had on a Kansas shirt, you know, be a lot easier to recruit a really tough five-star point guard. Even then, it gets real competitive. So my sale is really simple. I do very well with point guards who work hard, who think like myself, who's tough, who come from my background. But when it comes to that, I want a tough leader. I want a guy who, you know, gets out there and really leads by example. He ain't just talking. You know, I can tell when a guy's just talking. Yeah, Coach, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. All right, buddy. I need someone who's going to come in and really walk the walk and be an extension of me, because I'm a grinder, I'm a worker, and that's how I was able to be successful. You know, I wasn't as talented as other guys, but when it came to putting in work and doing, you know, a little bit of everything on and off the court, I was that guy. And so for me, recruiting-wise, I'm getting tough. Minded individuals who's serious about being a student athlete, serious about competing for championships. And that's just something you just gotta, that's why recruit is big. It is something that you gotta really take serious, because you gotta find the right one. They out there. And if they tough enough and they as serious as I'm telling you they are, they usually high major guys or really D1 guys. So I got a lot of work to do, but I'm very excited for the challenge, and know I'm gonna get the right people.
D, you're really good at this side of the thing, like you always have been. And obviously for Roosevelt University, this is a really buzzworthy hire. And obviously, you know, basketball so well. So how do you try and parlay that? You know, obviously you're here. I know you're on NBC Sports Chicago. Like, you're really smart about those things. So how do you try and parlay that into good basketball on the court?
Getting the message out there, you know, people, when I was assistant, I wasn't talking like this. I was playing my role, yeah. You know, really, I was a really good follower. Most guys that want to be leaders got to realize, you know, you got to be a follower and you got to learn. You got to sit back and see how it's done. You know, for me, I've always, you know, spoke well with the media. I always knew what to say. You know, I don't have no media training. I'm going to be myself no matter where I go, who I talk to. I'm going to be me. And people have been knowing that about me. So get my message out there that I'm really trying to find, identify, you know, guys who want to come over here and compete for championships, have a great experience. I mean, again, value education, and just keep telling you, man, Chicago's a beautiful place. You get a lot of negative publicity out there across the country, but it's top five city in the world. We have great basketball, great food. People love basketball. They love sports. So if you understand the landscape, which I do, I got to get blue collar, hardworking, serious individuals who embrace those things I just spoke about, and they got to fit who I am. And that ain't no secret. It's just what it is. And that's what's if you look at every school, they have their identity. You know, I'm just going to say this because I like Brad a lot. You know, you just, anybody just can't go play for Brad Underwood. Like, you got to be tough. You got to be, you know what I'm saying? Y'all like, so when it comes to, when people mention my name, you know, like, oh, I remember you as a player, man. I love watching. I'm like, I got one question for you. How did I play? What made you, what part of my game made you stand out? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's games I scored 4 points and people, oh, he ain't scored. Did we win the game? How was I defensively? Was I out there playing hard? Was I a good teammate? Like, I want guys, when you watch us play, that's who we are. Man, them guys play together. Them guys play hard. Them been on the teams I've been on, and I never been on a team where y'all looked and was like, oh, man, them dudes soft, or them dudes they don't play hard. You know, we respect the game. We respect people. You know, we do right in the community. I just want to identify those who are serious like me, who are serious about those things and ain't just talking about it. They doing it. They want to make an impact in the community. They want to graduate, get their education. They want to compete for championships. They want to be known as a hard rocking dude. Man, you know, I'm told you my favorite player when I was coming up. I used to tell people he's alive, like Lucas Johnson was my guy. I can rock with Lucas Johnson. I recruit a kid that play like Lucas Johnson. You win games with guys like Lucas Johnson.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of fans would argue with that. Two of the most liked players in recent Illinois history. D, basketball's been pretty good to you. You've been good to basketball as well. I got to ask, man, NIL, like, what do you think you would have made back in the day, man, especially that junior and senior year?
The money they're being offered nowadays is God bless them. Yeah. You know, everybody think I'm – guys like us – I say us guys who can speak on it, who actually would have made some money. I'm in love with all that, man. I'm happy these kids are able to get some money for themselves, but I just need to see a product, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to see some wins, championships. I got to see some consistent numbers. For me, I was consistently, like, I was even keel every year. I played the same. We won 25 plus games a year. I need to see that. And due to that right there, that's why I would have made some money, because I just wasn't only playing well or playing consistent, you know, with my numbers and every year competing for championships, but we was winning championships and we was beating and we was operating at a high level. So when you're doing that, absolutely, I think I would have made tons of money, because the stuff I used to do in the community and the appearances I used to do, I wasn't charging no money for those. You couldn't get no money for those. It was all from the heart. It was all because I love the people down there and, excuse me, they supported us. Man, the basketball was beautiful when we was down there, man. We had so much support. They was making tons of money in Chicago, though. That's where my money would have been doing stuff in Chicago. But what I've been really locked in, though, how can guys be really locked in on their craft if they out there trying to make some money, doing all these events and doing all these things when, you know, that's the only thing for me that, you know, would have been a little different. Would I have been focused on basketball and, well, I've been running to Chicago every other day to try to get some money. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy with the game is going. I'm happy for these young men that they're able to make some money.
D, a lot of the guys you played with at Illinois really making an impact in the coaching profession. It's been a topic of conversation the last couple of years. See Brian Randall, the Suns, Jarrett's obviously at Texas, Raj, Rich McBride, yourself now. How cool has that been to see and watch unfold? And how much conversations do you guys have amongst each other about just kind of this rise up in the profession?
That's awesome, man. Raj definitely FaceTime. I like Raj. I think Raj is going to be a phenomenal head coach. I asked Raj back a while ago. His whole thing didn't change. I'm happy for him. He's doing his thing. Brian Randall the same. I asked Brian Randall, like 5-6 years ago, man. I'm like, man, would you be interested in getting into coaching or doing something? Like, no, I probably want to stay on the basketball side. I was like, no, I think you'll be great, man. How you talk, your demeanor, your experience, you know what I'm saying? So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Jarrett as well. Jarrett was the guy that when he was at Illinois, he was really the guy. You know, I started every game of my career but one because of him. You know, I let him start on senior night because of what he meant to the program. You know, he's a real leader in the locker room, and he was a leader off the court. He was a big brother, so happy for him. You know, Rich McBride is going to be phenomenal as well. Quiet, real soft-spoken, but really know the game, and he's tough. You know, I like tough coaches. He learned a lot from a lot of different guys. Me and him got the same mentor, so he's going to be special as well. You know, I just – we had some real guys who got good basketball minds, and Darren was really about it. Darren would be an unbelievable GM. Like, he'd put together a team that can compete for championships because his basketball mind is so sharp. So it's a couple guys, like I said, who, you know, who I think, like a James Augustine, who just retired, that may, you know, if you talk the right language to him, may get him to do something on his off time and come and give an impact to your bigs who he's been playing and having a successful career as well. So we have some really good guys. I was just telling our guys the other day on the Zoom, man, like I played with 5 NBA draft picks at Illinois. I played with 11 European pros. Like these guys that I played with, I got beautiful minds and was real hoopers.
What's the difference where you guys are in coaching profession and Darren's out there punching Frank Gore in the face? Like what's different about Darren?
Hey man, Darren just did good by his money, man. And he likes other stuff right now. You know what I mean? Basketball, he played such at a high level for so long. He needed to do some other stuff. But Darren does his thing, man. Darren, good people.
Well, D, I got to ask, man, you're one of the most beloved players and one of the most beloved groups of players in Illinois history. So we're 17 years removed from the 05 run, right? I'm feeling old about that. But what's something about that team that people still might not know? Whether it's a story, something about that team. I don't know. Just I want to give you the floor for that because people just love that team so much.
Yeah. Special team, man. I just think the thing, I mean, everything y'all know, man. We just loved each other, man. It was a brotherhood, you know. We worked so hard and we loved each other so much that we didn't believe we can lose. Like we didn't believe, like we lost to Duke, that's my sophomore year. And I never saw a whole group of players, like I say everybody, and they can call me out for it. Boohoo and cry about a loss. Lost 72-62. We thought that year we were pretty nice, but we lost 72-62 to Duke. We was on the plane, we was coming back. I ain't never seen that many guys cry, but I remember Luther Head saying, and a couple other guys that when he said it, everybody like looked and was serious about it. It's like, I don't think we're gonna lose next year. And the way we carried ourselves, and even to this day, we 6 points away from perfection, but we didn't feel we would lose no matter what game we were in. I mean, my coach, I just watched the video about us, and first in peace to my man, Coach McClain. I was playing Wisconsin, and we was down like 10 on the road, and I was looking at their face. They was like, we can't believe we beating them. They look scared. So I came to huddle. I was like, man, these dudes scared. And I think our people behind the bench was like kind of like looking like, Man, this may be our first loss. And then Jack Ingram started hooping. Guys was just like new, because Jack was one of those tough dudes I'm telling you about. Like, them dudes was kind of scared, kind of like, we can't believe we winning. Like, we used to be in games and we just felt like we could not lose. But how hard we worked, days we didn't take off, 7-8 guys in the lab all the time. This was back, like I said, 17 years ago when, you know, you can't videotape this stuff. We didn't have social media outlets and all that type of stuff. So the people we went to school with would tell you we'd be at home just playing cards, having a good time like college students do, and daring to say something that's like, you know, outrageous. I'd be like, we can go to the gym, man. Like, you know what I mean? And then the whole house, having a house party, go to the gym and watch us play. You know what I'm saying? And we'll play with playing to one in the morning, you know, really get our, because that frustration out of like, I thought at times we were so competitive that when I was getting too much attention in the media, they wanted to get after me. Yeah. They wanted to be like, D, you not that guy, bro. You know, Richard Tay, Rich McBride, Luther Head, Darren, like the guard group, the guard battles was pretty intense because they wanted to show like I'm the guy. And that's why that time you saw me in the media, I used to tell y'all like, hey man, Darren Wayne probably be the best guard in the country, man. Like, that dude pretty good, but I think our best player may be Luther Head. Like, because we was playing each other and settling that every day. Like, if I can't beat them and if I'm losing every day and they getting the best of me, I got to talk about it. But when y'all saw me playing games, I thought the other guards weren't as good as these dudes. So, like, it was easy money playing against the other good guards. You know what I'm saying? So we was just so competitive. And y'all didn't see those type of matches or those type of interactions we'll have. Like, we were serious. It wasn't no fighting or we wrestling each other, punching on each other. Hey, let's go to the gym, man. Let's get this frustration out.
Along those lines, it feels like the roster can compete with itself, right? Like the battles in practice right now, we'd all love to see, because the talent that is accruing in Illinois, and I know, D, you bleed orange and blue, so just watching from afar, knowing people in the program, what's it been like to watch Brad Underwood, and why do you think he's been successful?
First off, because he's smart enough to hire, you know, some guys. You know what I'm saying? Chester Frazier is the guy. Tim Anderson is a guy. Like, I could imagine, and he got Adam Fletcher over there. He got some guys over there, man, that's really talented and really about what he about. He about toughness, man. He about, hey man, get these guys better, man. Like, let's kick some tail. Let's do what we do. You know what I'm saying? So he got some really good people around him, and he know what type of player he need to be successful.
As far as the excitement around the program, it'd be hard to rival 2005. It's not there yet, but I think that it's interesting when Josh Whitman hired Brad, he really set the bar of, we want to get this place, this building back to where it was in those days. What do you remember about what that was like the Wake Forest game, or just that environment, and then just the way that Illinois is now trying to get in that same kind of realm?
Man, that community loves basketball. We used to touch the community. You know, I used to always tell our guys, make sure we all pumping at a high level of going out to community, doing community service work, get people excited, get people behind us, because they used to close stores. And if you couldn't come to the game, you know, people was watching them, having big time watch parties and watching that good team play. But the thing about Champaign is, man, when you get those good matchups and you playing against quality opponents and they coming in, when you land the plane, I promise you, it's two things. It's going to be cold and it's going to smell like manure. And you're going to get your ass kicked, because we're going to win. So for me personally, those were the things. You want to fly here, let that wind blow, let it catch you, come over here, take this L and head back out. And that's what the people, when they came to the, you know, I called Sidney Hall, you know, State Farm, they knew that we was about to do some ass kicking. And they was going to be as loud as possible. You know, it's times that place, you know, it should be quiet, but it wasn't never quiet when I was there, because we didn't allow it to be. We're going to 22-0 run on you, and you just felt it. People appreciated the ball movement. They appreciated the intensity. And you just can hear it and you felt it. And so when you walked in that building, I felt like, I mean, we just can't lose it in here. And that's what the people down there want you to feel. And it should be that way.
People in establishments are still having the 05 versus 89 argument. Any case on your end?
It ain't even close. I think the 89 team would struggle with the Frank Williams team.
Underrated team. Underrated team, D.
Man, they would struggle with them.
Yeah.
Them dudes were physical. You know, Frank Williams, you know, they had people be putting arguments up who the best point guard ever played Illinois. I mean, Frank definitely in my top three. They had Corey Bradford, probably the best shooter, arguably. They had presence on the post with Capalia and Griffin and Brian Cook. And I mean, they just had legit physicality and then they were well-coached. You know what I'm saying? Getting to that two game and start really, you know, grinding you out. So I like the 89 team. You know, I got to watch them a little bit more. The style of play was different. You know what I'm saying? They got to, you know, more, people was critical on us about how we shot threes. But when we won by 30, 40, we beat Gonzaga by 30, 40. We was making like 15 threes, you guys, a game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we were barely losing games. But, like, that's why I say the style of play different. I like, they say they taller. You know what I'm saying? That's cute. You know, that's cool. But they did have some guys. I like to talk trash, you guys. I see them guys all the time. And they'd say the same thing to me. D, you too little. You know, who you's going to guard? I just be laughing. Like, I like it. I like, because we can actually do a game, you know, like that right now. If they want to show up, get their five, we get our five, you know.
Yeah, I want to let
they
you.
All in shape.
I want to let
shape,
you.
You know what I'm saying? Kendall Gill still got, I think, at 20, you know what I'm saying? Bardo looked real good, too. He got his little fitness thing going, you know what I mean? Yeah. I got one leg, so me and Bardo would be a really good matchup, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I want to let you go. You've given us so much time. But, yeah, I think you guys were at the beginning of this kind of wave of new basketball, right? Like the amount of threes absolutely you guys put up.
If you watch my freshman and my sophomore, I told somebody, I said, true story, I love Roger Powell. Sacrificed everything. You know what I'm saying? Roger was a three. When I first came in, he was a starting three for me. It was me, Darren, Roger, at three. Or Sean Harrington to come in every once in a while. But Roger was a three. But when Luther took his game to the next level, he either had to sit down Or he had to move to the four, which he was an undersized four, and he just became a monster at the four because he was really a guard. He was a wing. So in the way we shot the ball, the way we moved, like you watch, you know, the motion, you know what I'm saying? We rarely ran offense. We just came down, ran motion. And then defensively, we was just a terror. You know, we won the party, one of the better defensive teams there was to come through there. So we're definitely one of those teams that like, oh, they shoot too many threes. But now everybody shoots threes and layups. Right. That's what they do.
It's like,
Coach Weber, only person he let shoot mid-range jump shots was who?
Gosh, Rodgers.
The number three pick in the draft. Number three pick in the draft. Darren Williams. That's the only one came down, bing, 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 shot a pull-up. We didn't do no middies. We shot threes and layups.
It's like the Phoenix Suns were watching, man, and they were just like, oh, we're going to do that. Now everybody does it. Well, Dee, we can't thank you enough for the time, for speaking to Illini fans, but also it's awesome to see as a head coach, and wish you nothing but success up in the hometown, our home area of Chicago. So appreciate the time as always, Dee, and good luck, man.
Man, thanks for your time, man. And like I said, you guys do a great job. And, man, just thanks for the support and love down there from everybody.
Great stuff from Illini icon, Dee Brown. I know we'll all be watching closely to see how he does at Roosevelt University in this first step in his head coaching journey. Great stuff on his teams, obviously the 05 stories. I liked how he leaned in to some of the hot takes and, you know, talking some smack about how the 05 team was the best and maybe the 01 team is better than 89. Love it. Hey, if Kendall wants to come on, Bardo wants to come on and rebut that. We'd love to have you guys. But great stuff from Dee. It's going to be really fun to watch how he does at Roosevelt University. What a day for news. I'm glad I'm not in sports radio anymore, because what do you lead with? I think for most of the college markets today, it's USC, UCLA, and that's what we led with here on the pod. But Durant news. And by the way, seeing some reporting, maybe I'm wrong about the ACC. Being stable. Obviously, their media rights deal is, what, about half Big Ten SEC? So Clemson, what do they do? I think that's going to be a very, very important thing here. Florida State, North Carolina, do they decide to join the SEC, or do they look to the Big Ten or something like that? Do we have just two conferences here? I don't know. I don't know where it's all going to head, but we'll cover it here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Stay tuned to 24/7 Sports and Illini Inquirer for all the latest on this crazy time for college athletics. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Hope you enjoyed this. We'll have more moving forward. Give us a follow wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating or review. That really helps us out. So we appreciate when you guys take 10 seconds out of your day. Like right now, go give us a rating. If you add a couple lines, that's always very helpful for us as well. And don't forget the YouTube page. If you love being on YouTube and follow down the YouTube holes, but want some sports content there, want some Illini content, we have it at Illini Inquirer. So just search us on YouTube and subscribe to us there. But anyway, everybody, thank you for listening to the podcast. Stay tuned for all the latest at Illini Inquirer, where we have a 2 months for $1 deal on the VIP side of things. In Illinois basketball recruiting, pushing hard for a certain prospect. In Illinois football, hoping to add a few more here to their class of 2023 in the coming weeks. So it's a good time to sign up for just $1. You get 2 months. That's less than 2 cents per day for the next 2 months, which are always, always so eventful. All right, everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.